You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Well, it's time to go offshore with Mark Wertman, CEO of Unum Capital. And just as a reminder, he's developed and built a trading platform for Classic Business listeners, so you can begin trading offshore on www.trade1027.co.za. Evening, Mark.
Good evening, Michael. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, and I see one of your first talking points that you sent through to me today is all about the war drums growing louder. And having just returned from Poland, I think one is reminded that nobody really wins a war.
Yeah, you remember Edwin Starr's song from the 1970s, War, What's It Good For? Absolutely nothing. And that's how I feel about the war drums that are banging at the moment. It has had very little impact in on our market. I would have expected gold to be higher, the VIX to be higher, and the oil price to be higher. None of those are happening as yet. So I think we might have to wait a little bit for an impact on the market there.
And I think the concern is, obviously, we have at the helm of the world's superpower a president who can sometimes shoot from the hemp. And what happened in the Persian Gulf and the attacks on those oil tankers and the links through to Iran, which have been firmly denied, I thought as well would have sent markets into a bit more of a risk-off environment. But it is all about monetary policy at the moment, it seems. Looking at the week that was, the market seems to be divided into two distinct camps at the moment.
So it depends if you're in the Bank of America camp, and their recent surveys came out actually yesterday. I think it broke this morning, and they're exceptionally bearish. In fact, they're saying they're the most bearish they've been in since the 2008 financial crisis. Or if you're in the BlackRock camp, and the BlackRock camp says things are still good and the market's got more room to run. And the Bank of America one, it really makes for very depressing reading. It's an institutional survey, and they say it's the lowest equity and most defensive asset allocation they've seen, as they say, for about 10 years. So it doesn't make for very positive reading at the moment.
Interesting. BlackRock, I discovered, are one of the largest investors in Poland and Central and Eastern Europe as well, along with the likes of PIMCO, which is, as we know, is the 800-pound bond gorilla in bond markets. So they're still certainly hunting for growth in that area of the world where growth is still quite strong. On the tariff front, still no winner in sight.
Yeah, and you know, this changes on a day by day, minute by minute, because you might have seen that Trump put out a tweet in the last hour or two, saying he had very good telephonic conversation with the Chinese president, which kind of flies in the face of everything that had gone up until this morning. So, you know, we were looking at a China. Look, nobody was winning on this one. You've got China's numbers last week for industrial production lowest in 17 years. So clearly, this is not winning for them. And then on the U.S. side, they've just reported that the Chinese holding of U.S. Treasuries has fallen to a two-year low, and that's where they get all their money, or a big chunk of their money. So I'm glad to see maybe Trump is seeing a better sense. It looks like they are going to get their meeting at the G20 towards the end of the month, and we saw that immediately price into the U.S. yuan exchange rate, with the yuan going to 690, which is its strongest in a couple of days. So maybe there's some reality coming into things over there.
One does hope so. Donald Trump tweeting that he had a very good telephone conversation with President Xi, and they're going to be having an extended meeting next week at that G20 in Japan. Markets seem to be buoyed by that one as well. On the Brexit front, it does look like many's worst nightmare is about to come true, with Boris Johnson remaining the front runner.
He does look like it, and I think they knock it down to two names by the end of today, and then they're going to vote on it. And he does still look like the front runner, and maybe that's not a bad thing. As I think you and me spoke about two or three weeks ago, we are so fatigued with Brexit that maybe Boris is charismatic enough to bring it into this. So it might not be the end that everyone wants. We may end up with a rough Brexit, but at least we'll get some sort of clarity on this. And I think you and me were chatting about if we do get a hard Brexit, you know, that might help the UK shares, because 70 to 80% of their currency comes from outside. So if the pound takes a hammering, then some of those shares might pop. So at least we could draw a line under it by, I suppose, the end of October.
And I think that is what business in particular is looking for, just some certainty. Are we in? Are we out? It's been one of the longest divorces in recent memory here. Take some advice from the way Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos handled things. I think that was a very amicable divorce, sort of win-win all round. US Treasuries, who's the most dovish of them all, I think, is the question on everyone's lips here.
So I think Draghi stole the thunder today. So when I was putting together my bullet points for our chat, it was definitely, I was looking forward to what the Fed's going to do later on in the week, and whether, clearly I didn't think they were going to cut at the next meeting, but they'll cut at probably July's meeting, because it's a huge meeting they'll cut. But I think the thunder was stolen by Draghi this morning, because, I mean, to quote him, he came in, he induced this massive European rally that we're seeing this afternoon, and two of his quotes: if outlook doesn't improve, we've got room for more stimulus. And then his favorite, and he always rolls this one out: risk indicators remain tilted to the downside. So he's come out and said that there's potential for further cuts. And I don't know how you keep cutting when you're in negative territory already. And the continuation of an asset purchase program. So I think he's stolen the Fed's thunder. And it'll be interesting to see how they react now in a day or two's time.
It'll also be interesting to see how the Saab reacts come mid-July, because the Saab model, the Monetary Policy Committee's QPM, could quite possibly be mistaken again. And so it does look like the doves are in ascendancy at our own Reserve Bank, which is very interesting from where we were not too long ago, around December and the early parts of this year, where the hawks were in ascendancy inside the Saab. Looking forward, what do we have to look forward to this week on a shortened week here in South Africa because of that Easter holiday yesterday?
So a couple of earnings that may or may not affect our portfolio. Well, they're probably going to affect our portfolio. They're included in our IT ETF that we own. So it's Adobe is coming out later today, might have reported already, I haven't seen. Oracle's later in the week, and Red Hat. So that's three tech stocks. But I think earnings are going to be mostly ignored for the next couple of days, because I think the market has bounced already on first on European news and then on the Fed later in the week. One to watch from the IPO point of view, Slack Technologies, their short code is WORK, is coming to the market later in the week. And I just did a little bit of research. I went and looked at the last 100 IPOs, and we're currently sitting with 55 winners and 45 gainers over the last, and that's just over a year's worth of IPOs in the States. So there's been quite a few of them. On average, 27.5% return on those IPOs. And that IPO ETF that we own is up 30% for the year. So you can see that you can get, from these IPOs, you can get a lot of alpha. And I went and had a look and I split it up. There's 14 of them that are over 100% up since listing. So I think that IPO ETF that we own in the portfolio is a good thing. It gives us access to this, because there's a 50-50 chance you might get a good one or you might get a dud.
Yeah, and so far it's proving to be a very effective strategy. How is the rest of the portfolio doing at the moment?
So I'm gonna take the opportunity to lighten the load into the surge. We've actually done quite well. We're up almost 4%, so I'm quite pleased with that. Relative to our benchmark, which is slightly down, you'll recall about 2 weeks ago we added to two of our positions, which was IWO and IYW, and those are quite a mouthful. But those have done very nicely for us. We're up about 6 or 7% on adding to those positions. So I'm gonna lighten on those. You'll recall last week we took a little punt on oil and then we got out, and I'm going to put that punt back on again, because if there's easing in the economy again, that should be good for industry, should be good for oil. So I'm going to put that little punt back on oil, and that code is OILU, and that's a 3x geared play on the oil price. So those have done quite well for us. However, I'm a little bit concerned with some of the other moves. So I'm going to kind of lighten a little bit on some of our stocks. So you'll recall that we bought Deer, and that was mainly because that whole sector had just been pulverized. So anything to do with agriculture and China was just out of vogue. And that Deer stock has bounced back almost 20% for us since we bought it. So that one, I'm afraid, I'm going to take because it's at target. And I think we've made a nice little profit on it.
And in new trades, do you have any new ones this week that look particularly interesting or like a dripping roast?
So seeing I'm throwing out a few, I've got to put a few in. Sorry, I forgot. Remember we talked about NVDA. That's another one. I'm just going to – that gave me a scare. You'll recall they make the processors or the chips for a lot of the graphics cards that are used for cryptocurrencies. And I think that gave me a scare at 135. We're in the money. It's up 6.5% for the day today. So that's another one I'm going to kick into touch. So I'm going to have to replace those two. So we had a look at Salesforce. Salesforce bought Tableau. So Salesforce is a CRM platform. It bought Tableau, which is a business intelligence, you know, it's a data mining analytical company. They're both highly regarded in their industries. I went and had a look at Salesforce. It's probably a little bit expensive. I spoke to my technical analyst. We wanted to buy it a little bit cheaper, but we'll probably buy it here. There's 25 analysts who have a buy rating on it. So Salesforce is in. And if you'll indulge me, one last one, Facebook versus Bitcoin. Can't help but having a go at Facebook with this crypto.
Yeah, now, well, Facebook just announced their own cryptocurrency, Libra, didn't they?
So I must say, I'm not so much interested in their cryptocurrency. I'm more interested in their wallet, which is called Calibra. So you've got Libra, which is the coin, and then you've got Calibra, which will be the wallet. And I think that could be the PayPal of the future. Because if you've got 2 billion existing users and you get them to convert onto your wallet using your coin, can you imagine? Alibaba owns a company called, I think it's called Ant Finance, which is, they've managed to monetize all those users. Maybe Facebook could do the same. So, look, Facebook's a little bit expensive. I would have preferred to buy it 170, 175, but it'll go in spoiler here at about 190 and a half. I think it's currently trading.
I think that is very interesting for a little nibble and a punt at what could be the next big fintechy type play in the world of social media and finance. If you've got any questions for Mark on how to trade offshore, remember you can tweet us at Classic1027 or send us your WhatsApp on 066-470-1872. Really loving this feature where we're building a fantastic little offshore portfolio. Let's cross to Katleho for the traffic after these short breaks.